You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.
Welcome to today's live talk. I am your host, Michelle Gasseau. Today we will be speaking with Jim Mustin, Executive Director and Founder of Family and Corrections Network. Family and Corrections Network connects families of offenders to specific programs and services through its publication, website, and other resources. Under Jim's leadership, FCN has produced 5 national conferences on families of offenders, and he co-directs the North American Conference on Fathers Behind Bars and on the Streets with the National Practitioners Network for Fathers and Families. In 1995, he took early retirement from the Virginia Department of Corrections, where he was a family counselor and a training supervisor for prison and community corrections treatment programs at the Academy for Staff Development. Today, he will discuss the benefits of parenting programs for prisoners and the range of options for this education. Welcome to today's live talk, Jim.
Hi. Glad to be here.
Well, we're very glad to have you. Can you tell us a little bit about the types of parenting programs being offered in correctional institutions?
Well, I just looked in the directory of programs that we have on our website and counted 124 programs in the United States that offer parent education to prisoners. And these programs could, some of these programs are very small operations, say that maybe just reach one group of prisoners in one institution, maybe meeting weekly for a one-hour class. And some of the other programs operate in several states. There's a wide variety of range in terms of size of programs. And, of course, we have parent education aimed at incarcerated fathers as well as incarcerated mothers. And so that pretty much gives you an idea of some of the variety. Everybody has a little bit of their own twist on doing these programs.
Do most of them address child development and ways to approach their children?
That's right. That would be the common theme of these programs, is teaching the basics of child development for parents so that they could better understand their role, what kids need at different stages in their life, and how does a parent help provide that. And in addition, the second theme is, how does a parent behind bars help provide what the child needs? And that, of course, is a whole another area because of some of the difficulties that parents have in keeping in touch with their kids from inside.
Sure, some of them could be quite far away from their kids.
That's right.
Are there real differences between the types of programs being offered to female inmates, moms, versus those offered to incarcerated dads?
Well, the difference is in the needs of the people taking the classes. You could say that both moms and dads need a lot of the same information about child development, what their kids need, how to make contact. And yet the mothers come to the situation from a different road than the dads got there. The types of crimes that women are involved in, typically different from those of men. And also, most of the mothers in prison were raising the kids when they were arrested and incarcerated. The fathers tend to have been involved with their children, but not necessarily living with them.
I see. Now, do dads typically have a relationship with their kids when they are incarcerated, or is it something that they're going to have to try and mend, a relationship they're going to have to mend when they're there?
Yeah, it can be a difficult situation for a lot of dads. It's always going to be very difficult, but in some cases, dads have lost touch with the kids when they've gone to jail, and maybe they haven't seen them. It's not unusual for a dad behind bars to be trying to reconnect with a child that he's lost contact with. Each story is different. There's some dads that are very behind bars that are managed through great effort to maintain a close relationship with their kids, over long periods of time. So that's really the exceptional dad that's able to do that.
Now, for moms, is it not the case that since they were the primary caregivers, often they're going to have to transfer that and get used to having that transferred to somebody else while they're behind bars?
That's right. Typically, the mothers that are behind bars, their kids are being looked after by another family member. Very often, that's grandmother, mm-hmm. their mother, or it may be their sister or some other relative. Not very often is it a husband, I must say. And so they've really had to give up raising the children in a lot of cases and hand that over to somebody else. And one of the tensions that they'll experience when they get out is, you know, how do they get back into the role?
Yeah, and that's a little bit different for dads because typically the kids are with the moms when they're
right.
when the dads. Are
that's right. And your typical incarcerated father is not looking to come out and take custody of the child, whereas the incarcerated mother more likely might be hoping to do that.
What are some of the changes that offenders can make in the roles that they play as parent after they've participated in one of these programs?
Well, there's a lot of different things, but one of the things that they need, that they can learn through the program is how to relate to the child where the child is today. When parents are separated from their children for a period of time, through incarceration or through other situations, there's a tendency for the parent to pick up with the child where they left them. Meanwhile, the child has grown and developed and changed. And the parent, not having been there for those changes, so tends to come back and relate to them where they left them. And so if in the military, if a dad went overseas for 6 months, he might have a tendency to come back and sort of expect the kids to be where they were when he left them. Of course, they've grown for 6 months and they've changed. And it's a difficult thing sometimes to catch up. Well, much more complicated, let's say if a dad has not seen or had contact with a child for a couple of years, then there's a big chance that dad could be really out of touch with where that child is today. And adding on top of that, then the dads and moms need to understand some of the stresses that the kids go through that are directly related to incarceration itself, having a family member in prison. There's a lot of prejudice towards children of prisoners and prisoners and their families out there. And so that can be a difficulty as well at times.
There's also a bit of a transition, is there not? Once they've learned some new and important information about parenting as to how they sort of move that information to the current caregiver and be sensitive. And
yeah, one of the things that people in these programs need to be aware of is that the caregiver of the child is going to be a key to the program in terms of they're the ones that are going to bring the children to you so that you can actually have contact between the incarcerated parent and the child. They're the ones that bring them for visits. They're the ones that allow the phone calls to go through, the letters and stuff like that. And one of the tricky things about it is that a prisoner can take a class and get really excited about the great things they're learning about how to be a more effective parent. And then they can start trying to advise the caregiver as to how they could do better. And that doesn't usually go over real big, as you can imagine. That
yeah.
that can be a little frustrating to hear that if you're out there looking after a child carrying a pretty heavy load and somebody comes along and says, well, you know, you really could do this better, that can be a difficulty. So another thing that the programs need to do is to point out the need for some diplomacy on the part of the students so that they don't get excited and start telling everybody else how to raise their kids.
It's a good lesson to learn just in regular relations with folks anyway.
Yeah. So there's really a lot of advantages to just learning good common sense human relations through taking these courses. It's the type of thing that everybody can benefit from, especially prisoners. And the neat thing about it is that in most prison treatment programs, where's the motivation? And what's the motive for a prisoner to really want to learn these kinds of skills? A lot of times there isn't a lot of motive. It's people are trying to talk them into wanting to learn this stuff. But if you get into dealing with their child, then all of a sudden the motivation turns around,
yeah,
and the prisoner is very interested.
No better motivation.
Yeah, well, it's another example of that. It has to do with literacy. If a prisoner has a problem with reading, let's say they might not be literate at all, then they need to start. They'll have to start out in the literacy class in reading pretty simple material. Well, it's pretty embarrassing to be seen reading a first grade book, right?
Sure.
If you're a grown up. Well, that would be true, but not if you're reading that book so you can learn to read it to your child.
Right.
And so it changes the motivation, changes the way everything is perceived, and it opens up all sorts of opportunities.
That's a great point. These programs also must make a huge difference to the kids and how they interact with their parents who are behind bars. What are some of the benefits to the children?
Well, there's all kinds of benefits. I mean, kids want to know where their parents are and what's going on with them. We know this. This is a universal, near universal thing. We know this from adoption situations and things like that, that people just have a curiosity. They need to fill that in their minds, and so they need to know something about who the parent is, what the parent situation is. Without that information, they tend to imagine the worst. And so, unfortunately, though, because of the stigma and prejudice that's out there, a lot of families don't tell the kids, particularly younger children, they don't tell them that where the parent is. They don't let them know that the parent is in jail or in prison. And they make up stories like he's in the Army or he's overseas drilling for oil or something like that. And then the kids wind up sort of figuring it out for themselves or hearing about it at the worst possible moment. So one benefit of this type of program is that it allows a planned way to try to let the child know the parent's situation, that they are in prison and how they were doing, basically how things are and how they're doing, and that the parent does care about them. And that's a big thing in itself.
A lot of folks say that one of the big reasons for doing this is to try and break that cycle, too, of a generational incarceration.
That's right. And we're just starting to realize that there is a greater risk for a child of a prisoner to go to prison than there are for other children. Most kids of prisoners don't wind up in jail, but there is a greater risk there. And so we want to try to do everything we can to break that cycle. And we're just starting to learn more about this, but this is something that we really need to be working on.
Great. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Jim Mostyn, Executive Director of Family and Corrections Network, about parenting programs. Jim, let's continue. Can you talk a little bit about what corrections agencies can find for resources out there to help them develop parenting programs?
Sure. Our website at Family and Corrections Network has a lot of resources that would be extremely helpful. You can find programs serving families of offenders, including parenting programs, throughout directory of programs. There is a reading room with lots of articles and research materials. And there's a lot of other resources available there. It's really a switchboard for finding what you want. We have the website is at www.fcnetwork.org, or it can be reached through www.prisonfamily.org.
Now, there are some other things that the Family and Corrections Network does as well, to try and facilitate the connections between state agencies and these programs.
That's right. One of our activities coming up right now is the conference on Fathers Behind Bars and on the Street. This conference will be held November 6th through 8th in St. Louis, Missouri, and we're bringing together people from all over the country that are interested in working with fatherhood, both in prison and in the community. We know that there's a connection between the two because most of the dads in prison come back out into the community. So the theme of the conference is about coming home to children and families and community. And this will be a really good opportunity for people to learn more. There's information available about this on our website as well.
Now, who are the kinds of folks that would go to that conference and who would contact you?
Well, all kinds of folks. You'd be surprised. Of course, we have people from corrections, people that run prisons, as well as the folks in treatment programming, corrections education. We also have folks from community corrections. We have families of prisoners that come to the conference, and we have former prisoners there. And we have folks from all sorts of other agencies that are interested in families, particularly folks in the fatherhood movement, but also programs like Head Start, public health, public education, mental health, social work. All kinds of people are really working with families of prisoners. Sometimes they don't know they're doing it. But since we have 2 million people behind bars in the United States, that's a lot of families out there. And like today, there's probably at least 1.5 million kids with a parent behind bars. And there's a lot more kids that have had that experience of having a parent incarcerated, even though the parent is not there now.
So it sounds like a lot of different folks, a lot of different agencies touching
on these kids. Yeah, it's a real mix of people, and very exciting.
I want to ask you another question about the programs, the parenting programs. What are some of the aspects of these programs that would indicate that they're a good program?
Well, you know, one of the best things is just to be close to the program and see it in operation. When we had some programs, parenting programs operating in the Virginia Department of Corrections, I went to visit those. And I can tell you that the security staff that was closest to those programs that were there for them would tell you more good things about the programs than anybody. They enjoyed being at the programs. They get to see a different side of the men. They get to see the men on their best behavior. And they think, you know, they just find it's a plus in terms of making a happier institution, a safer institution to work in. From the standpoint of the prisoners, we've talked about some of the benefits of motivating them to want to really want to do some positive things and learn some people skills that they really need. And that's really important benefit as well. We talked about the kids some and how the kids really need to know something about, they need to understand the situation. And we know that every kid doesn't need to go and visit their parent in prison. That's an individual choice. But every kid needs to know something about their parent's situation. And the way to get the best way to get the information is from an is coming from a parent that's really thoughtfully informed by a training program like this.
Now, one of the things that makes a program a good one is that it's had some input from inmate parents themselves, right?
That's right. So in terms of designing a program, it's really important to have to involve prisoners in the design of the program. There have been some well-meaning programs that people have developed where they just sort of took what you might call an Ozzie and Harriet or Brady Bunch program into the prison. And when they started presenting to the prisoners had a hard time and started saying, well, wait, what's this got to do with our situation? We don't come from families where everybody goes fishing on the weekend and, you know, and things like that. We didn't live in the suburbs and have a two-car garage. Let's talk about, you know, our family situations. We're worried about our kids getting involved in drugs. We're worried about some serious stuff.
Doing well in school.
And, we're afraid our kids might follow in our footsteps. And so it's really important to, just listening to the prisoners. The prisoners don't run the program, but they should be a partner in the program.
Now, visitation also plays a big role in these programs as well, is that right?
That's right. If you're going to help prisoners learn parenting skills, then they need a chance to practice those skills. And the best way would be in a special one-on-one visit where the kids can come and spend time with the parents. And so visiting is going to be, for many of these program participants, it's going to be important. And most of the programs feature some type of special visit just for guys or women in the parenting program. where they get together with them for a little quality time, a few hours, and do some planned activities.
And they get a chance to practice what they've learned.
Yeah, so that's a chance where they get to really practice what they've learned. And, of course, it motivates them to do a lot of work to prepare for the visit.
Does it cost very much to put programs like these in place, and are there grant monies available to help agencies start them?
Well, the cost on it can vary. One of your main costs will be it's going to take some staff time. And it's possible to link up to volunteer programs with community agencies to get them to bring some resources in. Depending on the number of inmates or prisoners that you want to serve, the cost will vary, and some people will even purchase special materials for the programs. It's not a particularly expensive activity because you're not hiring, it doesn't require a PhD, you know, to run a program like this. It doesn't require a clinical psychologist or someone with really special skills. It does require some staff time, and that's going to be one of the items. It also really needs a link up with a community agency that will help with the program. And that could be a fatherhood program from the community. It could be somebody such as Girl Scouts that's interested, particularly in prison for women. All sorts of agencies might be able to help. In some places, it's been 4-H. Some of the fatherhood programs have some programs. The National Fatherhood Initiative has a long-distance dads model. So there's a lot of different folks out there that can help with this.
Help them develop.
There's so many choices that I guess if people want help with that, they could get in touch with us through our website, and we'd try to help them sort out what might be good for them.
Super. Well, thank you so much for sharing this information and helping people understand parenting programs. That concludes today's live talk. Thank you, Jim Mustin, Executive Director of Family and Corrections Network, for joining us today and discussing this important issue. It was great to have you.
Oh, enjoyed being with you.
Great. To learn more on this issue, be sure to read the articles featured this week on corrections.com, and also visit the FCN website at fcnetwork.org or at prisonfamily.org. For CCNN, I'm Michelle Gasso.
You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.